Praise the Lord. Well, I do encourage you to, if you don't, bring your Bible. Get a Bible. That's the best book that you can ever have. Amen. Amen. Or like I do, I put it on my iPad, and you can have every translation on there available. Amen. You can have volumes on one of these things. Amen. Different translations. And but anyway, we began a series a couple of weeks ago, and it's entitled Mighty Grace. Now today, in the time that we have here, I'm not going to go as long today because of the fellowship. Someone said that. I believe that when I see it. Amen. I know your thoughts. The Bible says Jesus perceived their thoughts. Well, but in Genesis, this chapter, chapter 8, we're going to talk today about tapping into the grace of God. How do you tap into the grace of God? You know, in this region, especially in the last 10 years, there's been, with the new discoveries of fracking and things like that, I don't know a whole lot about that, but they've discovered that there's a lot of wealth under our feet. Amen? And they've discovered a way to tap into it. Okay? And our brother right here works for those wells, don't you? Amen. Praise the Lord. But you know, that wealth and those resources and that natural gas, it's been there for who knows how long. Maybe from the Garden of Eden. It's been there. But until they had the knowledge and the technology to tap into it, nobody was getting rich. Amen? Someone said, I'm believing God, that's my backyard. Hallelujah. But we're going to talk about how to tap into the powerful grace of God. I saw some things in my spirit this week as I was praying about this. In Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. And here's the thought that I want to bring out today. All right. For every action, there is a reaction. For every action, there is a reaction. We're going to see this over and over again today in this lesson today about how that you take a step and God takes a step. We take a step, God takes a step. Amen? It's kind of like that when you're a kid or maybe even an adult and you have a pond that's near your house or whatever, and you take a stone and you throw that into that still, it's almost glass-like pond. Well, when you throw that rock into that pond, what happens? There's ripples that go out, right? The rock may only be this big. Think about the size of the rock. May only be this big. But when that rock hits the water, it shoots waves out in every direction, and the size of those waves compared to that stone is much, much greater, okay? I don't know if it's true or not, but they say a butterfly that flaps his wings in Africa can somehow be felt over here. I don't know if that's true or not. You know what I mean? But there's the cause and reaction. All right? There's an action and then there's a reaction. And here's the thing that in every scripture that I'm going to see today that we're going to look at, we're going to see that these are laws that work every single time. Now, how many of you know that there are laws of the Spirit just like there are natural laws? For example, we know that in aviation, that there is the law of thrust and lift, okay? How many of you ever flown in an airplane before, you know? Well, you experience that law. You can't see that law in action, but it works. But there is a law called the law of gravity, okay? Someone says, I don't believe in that law of gravity, then jump off a building and see what happens. I'm not telling you to do that. But if you throw something up, it's going to come down, right? And that's a natural law that God placed here so that we could keep our feet on the ground. Amen? You get these astronauts that go in outer space. Well, that law of gravity ceases to exist. They start floating around. Okay? Thank God for gravity. But the law of thrust and lift doesn't do away with gravity. It overcomes and supersedes the law of gravity. And the Bible says that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. Okay? So there's laws of the Spirit, and the laws of the Spirit are higher laws than the natural law. Amen? There's the law the Bible talks about in Romans, the law of faith. And the law of faith overcomes every obstacle that you and I could ever face. Hallelujah. Now, in Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, Moses, of course, wrote this by the Lord. He says, while the earth remaineth, well, last time I checked, it's still here. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest. Notice that. Seed time. Let's say it together. Seed time and harvest. Cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. Some have said this is called the law of Genesis, all right? Now notice here that there's the law of seed time and harvest. So there's an action and then there's a reaction. Seed time, harvest. Seed time, harvest. There cannot be a harvest without seed time. Now he's talking about seeds, natural seeds as well as spiritual seeds. But if you go over to the book of Mark, go with me over there to Mark chapter 4, and I want to show you something here. That there are natural seeds which we're most familiar with. Everything, you and I, we all started with a seed. Doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that one out. Every tree, every blade of grass, every bush that you look out this window and you see the plants and the herbs and the flowers and so forth, they all started with a seed because God set it up that way. Amen. Seed time, harvest, right? Mm-hmm. But in 1 Peter, I'll just refer to this, in 1 Peter 1:23, just write this down on your back of your notes or whatever. But it says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Now there's natural seeds, but there's also spiritual seeds. Okay? Josh, can you bring up Proverbs 18:24 for a minute here? I know that's not in the notes here. But I want to show you this cause and reaction here, what we're talking about here. And what is so exciting about this is the fact that we literally can control our destiny because of the seeds that we sow. Now in this scripture right here, it says, a man that hath friends. In other words, if you want to have friends, you have to show yourself what? Friendly. Friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That's God. Hallelujah. But here's what I want you to see here. If you're going to have friends, all right, you have to show yourself friendly. In other words, cause and reaction. Do you see that? For every action, there is a reaction. And when someone says, you know, nobody loves me. I don't have any friends. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't have any friends, you know. You know, I'm making fun of that. You don't understand what I'm saying here. But let me ask you a question. Just a thought. When was the last time you showed yourself friendly to somebody else? Well, I'm just waiting for them to talk to me. Well, that may take a long time. Amen. So, in other words, if you want friends, everybody want friends here? Then we have to show ourselves friendly. If we're grouchy and snippy and, you know, listen, things don't have to be perfect all the time for you to have peace. Okay? Don't let any person, don't let anything steal your peace. So three things went bad this morning, get over it. Just get over it. Amen? There's still the rest of the day. Amen? People say things like this all the time. They say, oh, I can tell how this day is going to go, and only one thing happened. What about the rest of the 18 hours that you're awake? Okay? So you don't want to curse the rest of the day. But notice there's an action and then there's a reaction. If you're going to have friends, you have to show yourself friendly. Okay? Now, if you're like me back in the day, I was a very, 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 very shy person. Okay? I don't know how that happened, but, that's when I was a very young kid, I was not very social in that respect, you know what I mean? I was very backwards, you know? Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Yeah. You know what I mean? I ran from the call. When God was tapping on my shoulder to go into the ministry, I said, you picked the wrong person, God. I can't even talk to people, much less get in front of a group. You know what I'm saying? Now, you know me the way I am now, but if you knew me back where the river started, back upstream, you say, I believe there is a God. Amen? Some of my kin folks and relatives, you know, that knew me back then, they realized that had to be God. Seriously. But the point I'm trying to make is this, is that for every action, there's a reaction. So if you want people to treat you nice, treat them nice. If you want to have friends, show yourself friendly. Put a smile on that face. Okay? Do you know that's the most powerful thing? God, do you think God frowns at you? Do you think God looks at you and goes, I mean, seriously. We'd be like, I'm out of here. We see that. But see, God smiles at you. That's how he sees you. Jesus was a happy Jesus. Okay? He didn't just have a big, you know, like the paintings always said, lamb thrown over his back, walking around, you know, with a sad look on his face, going to Jerusalem. You know what I'm saying? You know, there were moments, okay, where there was seriousness. But Jesus, the Bible says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Even going to the cross, he was happy about it because he saw the end result. He saw you and me coming to him. Amen? Amen? Man, I'm excited today. Jesus is excited today. Hallelujah. He's excited today. He's excited about you. Amen. Praise the Lord. So in Mark chapter 4, if you would there, turn there. I think I had you turn there. Mark chapter 4 and verse 26. And I want you to see this because the law of Genesis is throughout the whole Bible. There's seed time and there's harvest. Now, again, I want to reiterate that there's not just natural seeds. Every seed produces after his kind. That's the way God set it up. All right? And there's natural seeds, you know, pumpkins and corn and the whole vegetable kingdom. You know what I'm saying? But then there's spiritual seeds that are, they're still seeds. They're just spiritual. But every seed will produce after itself, every single one. I remember when I was working for, when I went to Bible school and I got my first job and I was working for the Broken Arrow School District, driving a school bus for the, when I was going to Bible school back in 1982. And my boss, you know, and there was probably 150 drivers, a big school district, you know. My boss was a Baptist man. He was a believer, really good guy, just a wonderful guy. But I remember he was meeting with us, and I remember this so vividly because he was meeting with all the drivers for a special meeting, you know, and he was talking about, you know, how kids pick on each other and things like that and how to deal with that and so forth. And he talked about a friend that he grew up with that made fun. He was a friend of his, you know, and he always made fun of this kid that had a hair lip, okay? And he would always make fun of him and sow that kind of wrong seed and make fun of him, call names and all this kind of stuff. He said, the funny thing was, he goes, a few years later, he got married and had a son who had a hair lip. Okay? And I was like, this is coming from a Baptist man who's my boss telling me this. He says, we have a way of reaping the seeds that we sow. Okay? But the good news is we can change those seeds. Okay? We should never, ever put ourselves in a position of making fun of somebody. We ought not do that. Okay, that's called foolish jesting. The Bible talks about that. Are y'all with me now? Yes. And we should never tease about someone's weight or the way they look or this or that. We should never, ever do that. Amen? Praise God. But in Mark chapter 4 and verse 26, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is if a man should cast seed into the ground. So notice the kingdom of God is like a seed. Verse 27. Should sleep rise day and night, the seed should spring up and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth the fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when is sown into the earth is less than all the seeds that are in the earth. But when it is sown, remember the cause and reaction? But when it is sown, it what? Groweth up and becometh greater than all the herbs, shooteth out branches so that the birds of the air may lodge and shadow under it. And then he talks about with other many parables he spoke unto them. But notice that the kingdom of God is like a seed. This is one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible, Mark chapter. There's so much in there, Mark chapter 4. But he said the kingdom of God is like a man that should plant a seed, cast seed into the ground. And he sleeps and he rises night and day, and the seed should spring up and grow up, but he knoweth not how. Amen? Now listen, I don't know how that process works. I've planted a few things in my life, you know, but I have faith in that seed. I know my dad especially, you know, he used to plant a garden, you know, when I was a kid growing up. And, you know, and he would he would get that little packet of seed. You know, there's a picture on that packet. You know what I'm saying? That real colorful looking thing. And what he would do is he would put a popsicle stick at the end of the row and staple that picture on there after he just planted those seeds. Okay? And I said, wow, there's a patch of cucumbers. You can't see them yet. You know what I'm saying? And other stuff that he planted, green beans, whatever, you know. And you would get a vision of what potentially is going to grow there. Well, when we planted the seeds, and I helped him do that, that seed was all of a sudden out of our sight, but it was not out of our life. Are you with me? It was out of our sight, but it wasn't out of our life. But all of a sudden, we kept watering that seed. And then the next day, we get out, after about a week, all of a sudden, there's a little green shoot about that big. Just coming up. But you know what? It's not time to harvest that thing yet. It's not time to harvest that fruit off of that yet. Are you with me? Yeah. Or that vegetable. Because it's the blade, the ear, then the full corn in the ear. And then you put in the sickle for the harvest. Okay? So here's the point I want to bring out is this, is that for every seed that's an action, there is a reaction that is a harvest. Okay? And we haven't diverted talking about grace, because when you do what the Word says, when you plant spiritual seeds as well as natural seeds, you can always expect a harvest. It's going to come back. It will come back. Make no mistake about it. It will come back. All right. So for every action, there's a what? There's a reaction. Okay. Now, go over to Matthew for a minute here. Matthew, the sixth chapter. Matthew, the sixth chapter. And I want to show you this. I think it's in Acts 20, 32. Paul said this, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, it's really important that we hear the word of God when we come to church. I was listening to Charles Stanley last night. He had a pretty cool sermon on last night. He was talking about, he does not understand. I totally agree. I say, amen, Brother Charles. He said, how is it that people can go to church, not bring a Bible, not hear any word, and say they've been to church and expect a life change? It doesn't work that way. Mm-hmm. We labor in the Word of God and doctrine in the Word of God. The Word of God is the thing that we need when we come to church, and not just to be entertained. Amen. We're here to get the Word of God lodged on the inside of our hearts so that Word will produce things in our lives. Amen. See, I've planted through the years, when I needed physical healing, I planted healing seeds of the Word inside my heart. And at the right time, that came up. Okay? The same thing can happen with provision in your life. If you need provision in your life, you got to plant that seed of the Word of God inside your heart, the promise in your heart, and then watch it grow up. Amen? Now, it's interesting because of Mark, he said the farmer, he plants the seed and he wakes up, but he still doesn't know how that seed is going to grow. That's God's part. Now, listen, whose responsibility for a farmer, that is, whose responsibility is it to plant the seed? The farmer. Secondly, whose responsibility is it to make that seed grow? God's. Okay? Always remember that, because we are a poor God. We cannot make things happen ourselves. That's why there is a God and we ain't Him. Amen? We depend on Him. But our job is just to be like Johnny Appleseed. We're to sow seed. Praise God. Isn't it wonderful that you can wake up every day and you can be a seed planter everywhere you go? I'm telling you, you go down to the local shop or the grocery store, you go to work or you're with somebody, a neighbor or whatever, you have the opportunity to sow good seed towards them. Amen. Seeds of kindness, seeds of goodness. Amen? Seeds of encouragement. Boy, if you need encouragement, start encouraging someone else. Think about it. There's a scripture in James that says, you know, that talks about, is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, let them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, you know. And it says, he went on to say, if any man's sick, let him pray. Amen? You can get healed by praying for someone else. Amen. He that hath friends must first show himself friendly. Now, this will help us because sometimes, listen, all of you here, we have a comfort zone that we're used to. Don't we?
Yeah.
But sometimes when we step out of our comfort zone, what happens? We start to become like Gumby. Stretch. But you know what? That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Well, what if they reject me? What if they don't look down? What if they look down? Don't worry about that. Okay? As you show yourself friendly, as you sow for every action, there's a reaction. I'm telling you what, it will come back. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. If I want my kids to be treated good, you know what? I treat other kids good.
Right.
Amen? Don't look at them like a pain in the rear end. That's how some people look at kids. Ah, they're just a pain. Bless their heart. They need some prayer. Amen? Like one guy said, we need to take them out to the country, tie them up to a tree, and pray for them all night long. Because seeds will come back. Amen? I wish I had a bullhorn because I'd shout it right now. What we sow is what we reap. Spiritually, emotionally, our words, our actions, our attitudes. Amen? And it's so important that we sow good seed to other people. Amen? Okay, in Matthew chapter 6, we've got to quickly go through this here. But again, for every action, there's a reaction. We're going to see something here in Matthew 6:25. It says this, therefore, Jesus said, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, nor yet for the body, what we shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body more than clothes? He said, behold, look, the birds of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, neither gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Well, we understand that, right? And which of you by verse 27, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Now, this is really a powerful statement right here because Jesus said, consider this. Consider the birds. All right, think about Tweety Bird for a minute, all right? And there's birds everywhere. You go out there, you know, but have you ever seen a bird worried about where he's going to get his next meal? I've seen birds in the middle of the wintertime. I'm in there in my warm house, you know, and it's, you know, almost 0 degrees. And there's a bird sitting out on a branch singing in the middle of the winter. But he's a happy bird. He's not out there fretting. He's not out there worrying. Oh, where am I? He's not plucking his feathers out thinking, where in the world am I going to get my next meal? There's something that God put on the inside of that bird that there's a confidence, there's a faith that we're going to find a meal today. We're going to be taken care of. Jesus said, you're better than the birds. Aren't you glad for that? So that means every time I see a bird, I'm like, I'm going to be taken care of today. Are you with me now? I got this app on my phone. It's a bird caller, man. It just about drives Lynn nuts when I, not literally, but you know. She goes, they both are, here it comes again. You know, but I could do it for you right now, but I don't, you know. But I got this app that I can call in several, as long as there are native birds in this area. But I've called in all kinds of different birds. It's an amazing thing. Birds you would never see too often. Okay? Don't get me off on my soap here. but every time those birds, every time I see them, like, I'm being taken care of. God's going to take care of me.
That's right.
Amen? So Jesus said, don't take a thought and say, what are we going to eat? All right. Now, look at verse 28. He continues here. He says, why take thought for clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, or the flowers of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon, gosh, he was one rich dude. By today's standards, he was a multi-billionaire. Okay? He was the richest man in that part of the country, and God made him that way. He said, even Solomon in all his glory is not clothed like one of these flowers. Verse 30, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Now he's talking about what you wear. So when you see the birds, I'm going to be fed. When you see the flowers, he's going to take care of me. Amen. He's going to provide. Amen. And then he wraps it up here in verse 31. And he says this. I love this. He says, therefore, Jesus is talking here. He says, take no thought, saying. How do you take a thought? You say it. You say it. We live in a world, let's just camp on this just for a minute here. We live in a world where there's, for example, right now, the day and age in which we live, there's electrical signals that you cannot see with your natural eye. For your cell phone, for electronic devices that are floating through the air, they're all over the place. You just can't hear it, you can't see it, but they're there. Okay? And likewise, in the spirit realm, there's all kind of thoughts floating around, okay, as a believer, all right? And some of those thoughts need to be taken captive because it's the enemy that tries to sow seeds of fear, discouragement, you're going to die, amen? This thing or that thing, you know, is negative thoughts. And so these thoughts are coming at us all the time. And if we don't realize where the source of those thoughts are, then we'll just let the devil put his influence inside of our minds and our heart. How does the devil attack you? He does it through thoughts. And that's why the Bible says that we're to cast down, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, every wicked imagination, every thought that doesn't agree with the Word of God. Are you with me now? Every thought of destruction, every thought of hurting somebody, every thought of that's about yourself, hurting yourself, or degrading thoughts about yourself, you recognize that's not my thought. That's the devil doing that. Amen? See what the devil's done for so many years. He's been around a while, and he studies mankind. And so he knows well enough that if people don't recognize where thoughts are coming from, they'll just accept that as that's my thought. How many here ever had a bad thought before? Okay. All right, a few of us have. And, you know, negative thoughts, bad thoughts. You're not going to make it. You're not going to have enough money. You know, you're going under. You're going to get sick of this. You know, your uncle, your parents, they died from this dreaded disease. You're going to die from that dreaded disease. Are you with me now? What are those? Those are thoughts. But those thoughts need to be taken captive with the Word of God and pulled down in the name of Jesus so that they don't become lodged inside your mind and your thinking. Amen. Are you with me now? And the Bible says those are strongholds. Now, there's bad strongholds, there's good strongholds, because a stronghold is nothing more than a thought that has a grip on you. So the Bible says that God is our stronghold. We can take the Word of God, plant it in our mind, in our eyes, in our hearts, and guess what? That thought can become a mighty stronghold for me. Amen? But he says, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? How shall we be clothed? And verse 32, for after these things the Gentiles or the heathen, they seek these things, what you eat, what you wear. But notice verse 33. Now, here's we're going to see this again. Action, reaction. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Okay, that's the action. And here's the reaction. All these things will be added unto you. So I saw this one day many years ago, and I'll tell you, it went off like a firework inside me. Notice that if you want something natural, you do something spiritual. He goes, if you seek first the kingdom, that's spiritual. Seek first the kingdom. Then all these natural things, what you wear, what you eat, the basic necessities of life. He said, those things will be added unto you. Amen? Years ago, the Lord showed me something. He taught me something because I was new at this. You know, everybody has a starting point. We have to start somewhere, right? And I had started our first church that we had over in the Bethel Park area. And we had church in the Bethel Park Women's Club. Okay? And long story short, we lived right down the street from there. So we would, on Sunday mornings, I would walk to, it was only maybe a not even a half a mile to the top of the street or less than that, you know. And so we had one vehicle, so I would go up early and set up, you know, and we had a little makeshift home stereo system that we used, you know, little brown speakers. And I mean, you had to start somewhere, right? I mean, gosh, I was 24 years old, so, you know. And so we took that little stereo, you know, and a lot of times it wouldn't work, you know, you have to rewire it and stuff like that. But I would go up there early, so I would walk. I had my dress clothes on, my dress shoes, and I would walk up there. Well, I had done that so many times, and we're just starting out. We had like two or three people in the church. Our first church. And all of a sudden, I realized I just wore a hole in my shoes. I guess they weren't very good shoes. But they were hard dress shoes, you know what I mean? And the only way I knew that one day is I'm walking up there, and it rained a little bit, you know? And all of a sudden, I thought, why is my left foot wet? Humble beginnings, man. And so, you know, I looked under, I thought, dear God, I'm seeing daylight. Amen. It's like one optimist said, well, praise God, I'm back on my feet again, right? Amen. So I thought, you know, Lord, I need a new, and I couldn't even afford a pair of shoes. I was poor. I didn't have anything at that point, you know, and I needed some shoes, you know what I'm saying? But I just kept wearing them, you know. And the Lord reminded me of that scripture right there. He said, if you seek first my kingdom, he says, I'll add these things to you. Yes, right. Amen. Yes. And said, okay, it's not my job to figure that out, how that's going to take place, because I didn't have a credit card at that point. I didn't have any money to go do that, you see. This is where I'm coming from. And so anyway, it was a short time after that that we had our Christmas Eve service. Okay, we had a Christmas Eve service. And a friend of ours that we had met a few years back in our home church was in the military, and he came up to visit for his parents for the Christmas holiday and so forth. So he wanted to come to church. So he called us up, found out where we were located. He came over, and his brother Greg, remember? And he was in the Marines, I believe, had his whole arm, his uniform on, everything. And so we had a candlelight service, a Christmas service. He came, and we had a great time. We had a great service, you know. And I had still had those shoes on. So we dismissed, you know, sang our last hymn and all that stuff. And he came walking up to me. And after the service, greeted me and he said, so good to see you, brother. It's been a lot of years since we've seen each other, you know. And he goes, can I ask you a question? He goes, I don't know if this is just me or not, but he goes, I was standing back there during the worship service before you preached. And as we were worshiping, He goes, it was almost like a mini vision. Lord showed me something in my heart. I didn't see it with these eyes, but inside my heart. He goes, I feel like God told me to buy you a pair of new dress shoes. Now listen, he didn't know anything. Okay? I didn't get up there and say, I'm believing the Lord. Can you see that? See, we're trying to help God out, you know what I mean? I'm believing the Lord. But here's what I need, and tell everybody about it. That's cheating. That's just conning people. We're not the con people, amen? Because then you'll never know if God gave it to you. Somebody might feel sorry for you, but it's better to trust the Lord and let God speak to people. And he said, now, Keith, here's the stipulation. I thought, okay. He goes, I want to buy you a nice pair of dress shoes. He goes, but here's the thing. I want you to pick out the kind. He said, price is not even an issue. He goes, I want you to pick out the very best dress shoes. We're going to go up to the mall. And so he took me up there, picked out the finest shoes I ever owned in my life up to that point. Amen. I didn't pay a dime for them, but they were paid for. And I said, Jesus gave me those shoes. Okay. Now, because of time, I can't get into all the other. There's been time and time and time and time and time where clothing and things like this supernaturally took place. And I can only trace it back to this verse right here, that if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. Amen. Now, here's the thing. We have to trust God for those things. The Bible says, ask him for the things that you want. You don't just not say anything. If you need something today in this service, if you need something, ask God. Say, Lord, I need such and such. Now, Lord, I'm going to do my part. I'm going to keep coming to church. I'm going to seek you first. See, a lot of people, they don't want to seek first the kingdom of God, but they want all the other stuff to be added to them. And if it ain't, here comes Mr. Credit Card. Substitute, that's not the Lord. Amen. Going in debt. Amen. And we've all been there and done that, I'm sure. All right? But here's the thing. When you seek first, that's spiritual action. The kingdom of God, all these things will be added unto you. Okay? What time is it here? Praise God. We just got 5 minutes left here. Go to Acts 16 here. And I want to show you something here. We'll wrap this up. So, you know, when we just read these verses right here, who determines what things will be added to us, God or us? We do. Okay? Our job is to what? See, here's the job. We have to understand job description. You know, when you get hired for a company, they usually give you a job description. Here's what we're expecting of you. Here's what we want of you. All right? So you have a job description. You have a clear understanding in your mind. Okay, here's what my responsibility is. And it's not your responsibility to do anything else other than what they've expected you to do. When God tells us something, He said, this is your part. And He always gives us the small part. You know, God does the hard part. Amen? Are you with me now? He does the hard part. Our part is just, do you believe? See, many times Jesus would say this phrase when He would talk to people in His day. He would say, do you believe I'm able to do this? He came to the blind man. He said, do you believe that I'm able to do this? They said, yea, Lord. He said, according to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were open. All right? He didn't say, do you believe you can do this? Amen. It's not a matter of what we can do. I like what Brother Kenneth Hagin used to say, I couldn't heal a fly's eyeball. Because that takes pressure off of us because we're not the healers. We're not the provider. God is the provider. God is the one that will give to us. Amen? But in Acts chapter 16, notice verse 22. Here's an example of the action and reaction. The multitude rose up together against them. The magistrates, this is Paul and Silas, they rent off their clothes. In other words, they ripped off their clothes. They commanded to beat them. And verse 23 says, when they had laid many stripes upon them and cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. I mean, what's this stripes deal? Whipped. Jesus was laid with many stripes, right? Verse 24, who having received such a charge thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Now, you know the story. Paul and Silas were ministering and they cast a spirit, a devil, out of a young lady that had a spirit of divination, fortune telling. All right? And she had two masters that brought her... that got much financial gain through this woman's being possessed with a demon. But, you know, the Scripture says that she followed Paul many days and Silas. Now, stay with me here. And she said, all these are servants of the Most High God, which show us the way of salvation. Let me ask you a question. What she said was true or false? True. It was true. But the Bible says that Paul, being grieved in his spirit... Because somebody can say something, but the wrong spirit. Are you with me now? Servants of the Most High God. There, she's drawing attention to them instead of God. And the Bible says this she did many days. So I guess Paul started figuring something out after all. He said, his Bible says he was grieved. He was grieved. And he turned and he said to the Spirit, come out of her. And now that spirit left her. Now she can't tell any more fortunes. Now she can't bring a paycheck to her two masters. Isn't that evil? They're using this poor girl, you know, fortune telling and stuff like that. I don't know about you, but I don't know if you've noticed this, but, you know, these little shacks on the side of the road, palm reader, you know what I'm saying? Just want to slap them with your palm. I mean, I'm just kidding. Read my palm. But did you ever notice how poverty-stricken they are? Run down, beat. Think about that. Listen, don't let anybody tell your fortune. Do not look at your horoscope. I feel so led to say that right now. Do not look at the paper. Look at your horoscope. You open the door to the devil and evil spirits to come into your life when you do that. Well, Pastor, I'm just playing with... Well, you play around with that stuff, the devil's going to burn you big time. Amen? Because that's all the occult and evil spirits. Listen, you don't need some evil spirit telling you something. Are you with me now? The Bible says the Holy Ghost will show you things to come. Well, you talk about someone telling your future. Ooh, glory to God. The Holy Ghost will teach you all things, bring all things to your remembrance, and He will show you things to come. Hallelujah. And it won't cost you a dime. Are you with me now? It's called being led by the Holy Ghost. Being led by the Spirit. Listen, I'm telling you, when you listen to the Holy Spirit, if you're too busy to listen to God, you're just too flat busy. Well, I got to make this choice, this tough decision, this decision. You know, this. There is a Holy Ghost. And sometimes you got to say that to church folks. Listen to me. There is a Holy Ghost, and He wants to lead you and guide you in your choices and your decisions instead of you saying, well, I think that's the right choice. It seems logical to me. Go ahead and fail then.
Amen. That's right.
There is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is destruction. Okay? But when you follow the Holy Ghost and you listen to Him, the Bible says He will teach you to profit. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, and I will lead you by the way that you should go. Amen. Amen. So you hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. Oh, Pastor, I'm just afraid I'm not going to hear His voice. Oh, don't listen for God's voice with these ears right here. Forget that. It's in here, this still small voice. And all of you here know that voice. You know that voice. Guess what? You heard it this morning. You came to church. I did? I thought that was just me. Now listen. The Holy Ghost was telling you, get up, get dressed, go to church today. Are you with me now? Well, I thought that was just me. That's where we miss it a lot of times because, listen, the Spirit of God is so gentle and so soft sometimes, you would think that's just me. Little me. No. A Holy Ghost is on the inside of you. You could be driving home today and the Lord puts it in your heart. Don't drive the same way home. Drive a different way. Well, why? Don't ask why. Just do it. Are you with me now? Hallelujah. I made mention of the fact last week I'm on my way to church and I took a little detour. That was maybe 30 seconds different than the way I normally go. Well, guess what? I got on the interstate on 79. And I'm going about 55, 60 miles an hour. And here comes this deer, you know, flying full speed across Route 79 off the Bridgeville exit. I mean, he's hoofing it. He is running. And a car, there was an older gentleman in front of me that didn't see it. Now, the car was... I would say between me and the back of this room, that's how close I was to this car. And this deer comes flying across the road. And the guy hit that thing right smack in the middle of his car. He hit it so hard that debris and glass and plastic and the front of the car just went up over the hood. And I drove right through it. Okay? The debris didn't hurt my car or anything like that. And but I thought, oh, Jesus, thank you for Psalm 91. Thank you for that protection. Unconsciously led by the Holy Spirit. I mean, we're talking a fraction of a second. That would have, could have been me. Amen. What's interesting is the night before? My wife had a burden of prayer. She was praying. And her and Kelly, they just joined. They started praying in the Holy Ghost, started praying in other tongues. Now, a lot of times when the Holy Spirit tells you to do that, you don't know what you're praying for. You don't know who you're praying for. You just yield to it. Yield to it until you get a note of victory. And I had a sense that that was part of what they were praying for, of that protection. Because I'm on my way to church. I don't want to hit no deer on the way to church, let alone any other time. Amen? Just a little side thought. But see, here's Paul and Silas. They're in this jail. Their backs are bleeding. They're at midnight, you know, the darkest hour. So look at what happened here, and we'll conclude this. Verse 25, Acts 16, 25, cause and effect. And at midnight, Paul and Silas did what? They prayed. They didn't notice the period doesn't stop there. It says, and what? Sang praises unto God. And notice this, the prisoners heard them. Now, guys, listen, they're not in a church meeting. They're not in church. They're not steeple, stained glass, pews. They're in a doggone, disgusting prison. The worst kind of prison. Their backs are bleeding. Their feet and their hands are in stocks. You know what I mean? There was no natural reason for them to worship God, to thank God. Are you kidding me? Most people, if that was today's people, they'd say Paul and Silas, they were in jail and they griped and complained. Oh, man, is this what we get for serving God? You know? Here's the principle here. They sang praises to God even though they didn't feel like it. Even though their backs were up against the wall. Their backs were bleeding. Bad circumstances. But what did they do? They sang praises to God. The other people just happened to be there, heard them. Here is the cause. There's an action, and then there's a reaction. So their action was this. Now, bad circumstances were obviously a part of this. Okay, bad. They were in a bad position. But what did they do? They sang, they prayed, and they didn't stop there. They were singing praises to God. They were just didn't think about that. They're in the prison. They're like, Lord, thank you. Hallelujah. Worship you. You can hear other prisoners, shut up. You idiot. What are you doing? That only lasted a few seconds until this happened. Because verse 26 says that suddenly, everybody say suddenly. Suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundation of the prison were shaken, and immediately the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hmm. Cause and effect. Action, reaction. How do we react to bad circumstances? How do we get the grace of God? How do we tap into the grace of God? Well, I'll just quote this, but Psalm 68:1 says, let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Amen? How do you let God arise? You let him rise up inside your heart. Amen? And that's why sometimes, you know, and when we're in church like this, and if you haven't been around this a whole lot, you might be thinking, why are they getting so excited right now? I never experienced that before. People are shouting and lifting their hands, getting excited, you know. I never saw that before. Well, listen, stretch. Stretch. What if Paul and Silas would have kept silent? They would have said, is this what we get for serving God? We cast a demon out of a girl. Now we're in jail and our backs are bleeding. Our hands and feet are in the stocks. Oh, well, what will be, que sera, sera. That is not a scripture. They had to step out in faith to do this, didn't they? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Sometimes we get whipped over a flat tire. You know, something breaks or something. Oh, doggone it. You know what I mean? And what about the voice of thanksgiving and the voice of praise? Shabrasita, Father, I thank you today. Glory to God. Thank you so much, Lord. I know that thing that happened, Lord, that was not from you. That's from the devil. But right now, in the midst of this thing right now, I'm going to give you glory. I'm going to give you praise. I'm going to thank you. Hallelujah. Listen, the only one that needs to hear that is God. I have some of my best prayer services and praise services by myself. I cut loose. I have a good time. I worship God. And guess what? I see him come through. Now, you may not see it right away. You'll see the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. It doesn't happen all at once. But I'm telling you what, if you put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that's what the Bible says, those things will not be able to touch you. Okay? And if you're facing right now, for example, if you're facing trouble in your life, and it's been there for quite a while, whatever that trouble is, you can praise your way out of it. That's a word from God right now. You can praise your way out of it. Well, brother Dan, a few weeks ago, Ben, he was teaching on that, on the how the Lord sent ambushments against the children of Ammon and Moab when they gave praise to God. Remember that when he was teaching on that in healing school? That went off of me like a bolt of lightning, man. You know? And the Lord can't send ambushments unless we give praise. He fought their enemies for them. But we have to give praise to it. Amen. And I'm out of time here today. Praise the Lord. But let's go ahead and we'll pray right now. Close your eyes. Bow your heads for a minute. The Lord loves you so much. So much. He is totally, madly in love with you to the point where he sent his son Jesus Christ to die for you. Die on that cross. Be buried 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And then he was raised from the dead by God the Father. But he didn't do it for himself. He did it for you and for me because we have sinned. All of us have sinned in our lives and fallen short of the glory of God. And we all need a Savior. We can't save ourselves. But that's the whole reason that Jesus came, because of his great love, to lay his life down for you and for me, to completely annihilate and wipe out your past as if you never sinned. Think about that. Now, today is a choice and a decision. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you've never asked Christ, Jesus, to come into your life, you know, maybe you've known about him, you've gone to church your life and so forth, but there's a difference between knowing about God and knowing him personally. Everybody knows who the president is, but not many people know him personally, regardless of your political persuasion. We all know, we could say it by name, who the president is, but you know what? Not many people know him by name, personally. A lot of people know about God, but they don't know him personally. But today, I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. All I'm going to do is pray for you and for everybody together here, actually. Okay? We're not going to single you out or embarrass you. We're going to pray collectively together as a body. But if you've never made Jesus your Lord and your Savior, this is the day, the Bible says, for you. This is the accepted time. This is the day of salvation. So be bold about it. Be confident about it. Raise your hand if you've never made that decision yet today, but you would like that. I'm going to pray for you today. Just lift up your hand. Just lift it up. Don't delay it. Thank you. All right, now. All of us, we're going to pray together for those that lifted their hands right now. Say this after me. Dear God, I believe that you sent Jesus to die in my place. I make him my Lord and my Savior this very day. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Forgive me and wash me with your precious blood. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. I pronounce to you that you are now a child of the living God. Your sins are forgiven. You are cleansed. You are washed. God is not holding anything against you any longer. Amen. Amen. Praise be to God. Praise be to God.